Darlings, and welcome back to Diva Deep Cuts, where we explore all the best songs you've never heard by the great divas of today and yesterday. I am your host, Ben, and thank you so much for joining me. So today, we are covering the brand new album by Ariana Grande called Eternal Sunshine that was just released on Friday, March 8th. I have spent the weekend listening multiple times and taking notes and getting my thoughts together. So we will get into it in just a moment. But before that, please remember to subscribe on Spotify if you're listening there or any other podcast hosts, or like and subscribe here on YouTube as well. So yes. Oh, and don't forget to go to divadeepcuts.com to stay up to date with all the goings on of the show, as well as to check out the deep cuts of the day on social media and YouTube shorts. So, let's get right into it. I wasn't sure what to expect with this album because the lead single was an up-tempo house club number that we'd kind of gotten from Ariana before with songs like No Tears Left to Cry and One Last Time and Break Free, but not full-on house like this before. It was often described as very similar to Beyoncé's efforts with Renaissance in 2022. So I wasn't sure, are we getting a dance record? Are we getting a pop record with 90s and 2000s throwback influence? But that's not what we got. We got a record that is a dreamy, vulnerable vibe. It's actually a lot more R&B than dance. Really only Yes and one other track are dance songs, which we'll get to on the track by track walkthrough in just a minute or a few minutes. But yeah, it's just like very dreamy and soft and hits on a lot of very nuanced emotional beats throughout the album. I realized on my first or second listen that in parts this is a divorce album because she hadn't recorded and released any music since she and her husband had divorced and split up. So I feel like the album kind of goes through that cycle of the marriage ending and dealing with the feelings of that, finding the next relationship. And no, I am not going to be commenting in specific on her personal life because frankly, I do not care. It is her business. But finding that new relationship and then still dealing with feelings because it's never an arrival. It's always a twisty and turny journey when, you know, a serious relationship ended. There's still like moments of flashbacks and reminders, and it's one of those things that just gets easier with time. Some of the other things that I really liked on this record, she had really good diction. That's something she's been criticized for in the past, of not enunciating her words or just kind of mumbling when she whisper sings. So it was nice to be able to really make out what she was singing on all the tracks pretty much. I didn't have trouble understanding the lyrics, and I wasn't always necessarily reading them when I was listening through the album. So that was a nice change of pace. So the majority of the record is produced by Max Martin, who's a prolific pop producer and has been since the mid-90s. If I had not known that before listening to this record, I would not have known it was a Max Martin record, mostly. I think it's like all but one or two tracks are Max Martin involved. And I don't know, it was just, I rarely have heard him do like more R&B like this before, and I wouldn't think it was him, like I said, if I didn't know. So that was kind of like refreshing in a way that, you know, this many years into his career, he's still trying to do different things and work with the artists that he's working with to capture their sound and style and brand in their music, and not just being like, well, you have me, I do my thing at the soundboard, and you have a Max Martin produced track for your album. So that's a nice change of pace, I guess. The only other thing, it's a small criticism, and I keep going, I have mixed feelings about it. She doesn't do a lot of belting and vocal acrobatics and even necessarily a lot of like full voiced singing at times on this record. And at first I felt like it was missing, but the more that the emotions and the lyrics and the stories and the songs sunk in, the more I listened to the record, the more I was like, these are very like soft, delicate, fragile feelings. And her vocal delivery matches that. So I began to understand some of her creative choices on vocal delivery and production a little bit more. I still think some sprinkles beyond some of the yes and climax that's a little buried in the mix would have been nice, but I also can understand where she was coming from. All right, so let's do a quick track by track walkthrough. So this album opens with a track called Intro, End of the World. And it's very like cinematic. Please excuse me as I check my notes. It's very honest, and I can imagine the title coming from like, I've never been married, and so therefore never divorced, but I can imagine from just having had relationships and the romantic relationships specifically in the past, that sometimes it can feel emotionally like the end of the world when a serious partnership falls apart. So I think that's kind of like where we're starting. And the thing about it, Max Martin did not produce the intro, but it sounds sonically so similar to track two, the first proper song, that it just flows so effortlessly. It has just a, like a really slick, effortless transition into track two. Then track two, I mentioned earlier, is our other more truly dance track of the record. It's the disco throwback song "By," which has gotten a lot of positive response online since the release of the album. It very much, in my notes, I wrote disco divorce anthem, and that's really what it is. That's the part where it's like, okay, I'm ready to be done with this. I'm happy that to be out of the situation that just feels untenable and awful, and it's just like, bye, it's time for me to move on, which, you know, it's a relatable sentiment. The only part of the song I felt the bridge was a little bit weak. I don't know. It just felt like it could have been lyrically tighter and just like hit a little bit harder. So that was like one small criticism I had, but otherwise I really liked the song. I also liked the part in the second verse where she was like, usually I'd join you on the dance floor. I don't remember the exact lyric, but something about that where it's like, okay, like, a little flip on a disco song where she says, I'm not joining you on the dance floor. Like, I'm good. I'm going to stay over here and do my thing. So I thought that was a neat little, like, switching it up in the lyrics. Track three is called Don't Want to Break Up Again, and it slows things down after the disco explosion of Bye. I wasn't entirely sure what this one was about, because she mentions about like this situationship has to end, but then I feel like as a whole, it still kind of fit in with the roller coaster of emotions of going through a divorce and trying to like end things. I don't know, maybe it's that a period of like, things are kind of over, but sometimes you get back together or go back to that person and then you leave again and you come back and you leave again until you're finally done. I'm not sure. But the bridge on this one is much stronger. I love the bass line. I wrote diction again on this one where I could understand everything. It was like a nice laid back groove. And I forget which verse it was in, but I wrote down the lyric, I'm too much for you. So that sticks out for me. I've never felt like I'm too much. I leave that up for others' judgment and don't really care. But I've had many close friends who have like described themselves as feeling like they're too much or that other people find them to be too much. And it makes me sad when I hear people say that, because I don't think anyone is too much. I just think everyone has to find people who like match them. So like people who say you're too much, like they're down here, whether they're just low energy people or they're just like an energetic mismatch for you or what. So it just means, I don't know, it's not that deep. It means you just have to find people that match you, but it can feel awful when you keep finding people who aren't where you are. So yeah, but I just wanted to call that out for all any of those out there who have been told that they're too much. You're not too much. You are never too much. You just haven't found the people who can contain all that you have to offer. So on to track four. So track four, first off, is called Saturn Returns Interlude, and it has a woman speaking, describing experiencing the return of Saturn, which is what Ariana Grande experienced between her last album and this one. It usually happens in the late 20s. It's an astrology concept where Saturn returns in the sky to the place where it was at the time a person was born. And it takes like 29 and a half years or so for Saturn to complete a cycle throughout the whole zodiac in the sky. And oftentimes it's thought of to parallel when there's like big shifts in life, like the first return of Saturn in the late 20s is like the shift from childhood, like fully into adulthood and becoming more grounded and responsible. And then the next one is like adulthood to like midlife or senior citizenhood in the late 50s, early 60s in life. So oftentimes there's just like a lot of shifts, a lot of clearing out of the old, clearing out what doesn't work, refocusing on things. And this album, like besides just being in part about divorce, is also about like being in the late 20s and experiencing dramatic shifts and changes through Saturn returns. I'm not surprised she included it here. I also circled this and the next three tracks and just wrote in all capital letters in my notes, Tinashe. So for those who don't know, Tinashe is an independent R&B and pop and dance artist who was on a major label, released a couple albums, but had creative differences with her label, got out of it, and then has gone on to great success as an independent artist in the past 4 or 5 years or so, I think. I don't remember when Songs for You came out. But anyway, she's amazing. We are going to feature her on this show someday. I just haven't figured out when. There's so many new releases happening right now that those are taking precedence. But I love Tinashe. I listened to her 333 album so very much during the pandemic lockdown times. And the rest of her work is great. Like, she's one who does not have much filler. Every album is a creative knockout from beginning to end. Check her out if you've never heard of her before, or if you're only familiar with her biggest hit, Two On. Anyway, my point, Tinashe tangent aside, is that the middle section of this album very much sounds like what Tinashe is doing. So it's nice to hear Ariana doing something more experimental and alternative to just like trap beats and moody synths and calling it R&B. When, I mean, it is R&B, it's just not R&B that I like. Like, I can listen to a meditation track and get a similar vibe. I don't need it to be what I hear on the radio and streaming. So, yes. So, when Saturn Returns transitions into track five, which is the title track, Eternal Sunshine, that's like the vibe really gets going for me with this like rainy, sad, mid-tempo, like R&B feeling that feels at home on a Tinashe record. But I will say, at first, Eternal Sunshine, the song, was one that it took me a while to get into. I don't think it was until like the last listen or two that it finally clicked for me. Because the first couple times, I couldn't even remember what it sounded like. I'd look back at the album track list and be like, I don't even remember hearing the song Eternal Sunshine. Like, I can't think of the hook. I'm not sure what the lyrics were. Like, it's not standing out in the brain amongst the other tracks. But eventually, it did sink in, and I got it. So I also think this song in particular has the most bridges back to her past work on Positions and Thank You Next. It has some production elements. Do I have any? No, it was a different song where I had some notes. And some lyrical notes. Right. So, yes, I love the first two lines of the chorus. When it did sink in, finally it hit. And she says, "I'll be the first to say I'm sorry, but you got me feeling sorry." And it's that like gaslighting. Toxic feels a little bit too strong, but like relationship that's not doing well, or one partner who's just like hasn't done the work on themselves, where it's like, Ariana is singing from the perspective of the person who always apologizes first, always feels awful, never like has their emotional needs met or has the other person apologize. I personally found that relatable, experienced that in a relationship before in the past. But then she goes on to talk about being played like Atari. And there's a video game noise after she sings the word Atari every time. So clearly an intentional choice to just add like a little sprinkle of like 80s, 90s MIDI video game sound in the mix, which also like helped the song open up for me to enjoy it and appreciate it more. But yeah. So I did end up liking it eventually because I found the hooks in the song to draw me in. But at first, it wasn't my favorite. Track six, on the other hand, is a song called Supernatural. And this is bar none my favorite on the record. Favorite of many online who have listened to the record. It's so good. It has like these soaring 80s synths. It has a really strong vibe that just pulls you in. And I consider it like the turn of the record, where the first five tracks were about all the feelings of her relationship ending and going through all of that pain and sorrow. And then Supernatural is when she meets the next person and it's like, finally, like, someone who's treating me well, someone I'm interested in, something that my focus can go to so that I'm not just in this like state of moody depression and needing to heal after the previous relationship. Like, it's nice, refreshing moment on the record. Yeah. And this is where the next, yeah, the album just keeps getting better from here as I'm looking ahead at the next songs. So track seven, the last of the Tinashe section, is called True Story. And I wasn't entirely sure what this one was about, but I really like it. I think the production is slick, it has a catchy hook. It's like interesting and suspenseful but then it like delivers at the end. But I just wasn't sure what it was about. Because at first, she uses the word fantasize multiple times, because there was a leaked track from some sessions before she started filming Wicked, the movie, that was for a TV show that leaked because someone hacked and found them. And Fantasize, the song, has gotten millions of views on YouTube. It's gotten a really positive response from people. She said she wrote a song on the record that was like her version of Fantasize and not for this like TV show concept that this she was recording songs for. So this song, True Story, uses the word fantasize in the chorus. But when I actually listen to the verses, it sounds more like she's clapping back at people on social media and in the general and tabloid media for like focusing so much and making judgments and assumptions about her personal life in the verses. And so I was like, okay, I'm not sure what's going on. Like, is this the true story of the beginnings of her next relationship? Is this like a, I'm telling the truth, you all are making assumptions about me and about my partner, and just you need to have several seats because you are running with a narrative that's not true? I'm not sure. So I was like mildly confused because of the word fantasize, but I did really like and appreciate the song. And I don't have a resolution for you. So if anyone knows, please put in the comments on Spotify or below on YouTube if this is the song or if the next song, The Boy Is Mine, was like Ari's version of Fantasize. And let me know. Anyway, onto that track 8, The Boy Is Mine, no, it is not a Brandy and Monica cover or sample. Ariana wrote her own song and just called it the same title, which is allowed because titles cannot be trademarked and copywritten in that way. This one is very smooth. I really like how it feels like it slows down and compresses on the pre-chorus and then snaps back into the tempo with the beat kicking in again on the chorus. At first, I didn't get into this until about the third listen because I thought the chorus was a bit too monotone, but eventually, like Eternal Sunshine, it hooked me and I really like it now. And the production is just very smooth. It goes down easy. And the song just kind of like hovers in the air like a humid atmosphere. It's really nice. Track 9, it's not a deep cut. Lead single, yes, and. It's a fun up-tempo house number for the gays, like I've already mentioned. It feels, again, like more clapping back, like True Story. But it does feel kind of jarring after the, like, mid-tempo vibe of the last couple tracks to suddenly just, like, abruptly turn up the tempo and the volume with no warning. So maybe it could have fit somewhere better in the track sequencing, but I love it and still dance around my apartment to it, so I still enjoy hearing it. Track 10 is the second single, We Can't Be Friends, Wait for Your Love. And I'm not original in saying this, but several thousands of people have said that it sounds like it could be a Robin song. It just has those like big sparkling synths with really sad lyrics over top. The main thing is that Ariana had a more subdued vocal delivery than Robin usually gives over these types of songs. But it's still really sweet. It's very sad. When I watched her performance of this on Saturday Night Live a couple days ago, I was like, could she have done the live vocal performance in the studio? Because I thought that would have elevated the song just a little bit and helped differentiate it a little bit between the other tracks on the record. But otherwise, I still really like it. I'm a sucker for these kinds of songs. Like, I've loved Robin, almost 20 years now. So I'm no stranger to these kinds of songs. And like, last year, Pink's title track and second single on her Trustfall album was similar, and I loved that as well. And it was one of Pink's more successful singles in the past several years, too. So, and the video is a... what's the word? An homage to Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. For those who are familiar with that, go check out the video and see what you think of the references. Evan Peters, spoiler alert, stars as her ex-boyfriend in the video. So we only have 3 tracks left because this is a rather short record. It only takes 36 minutes to listen to it. So this video might be almost the same length as the album. But track... what is it? 11 is called I Wish I Hated You. I really like this one. It was very sad and very vulnerable. And I feel like the production here reminded me more of like Imogen Heap, which Ariana cites as one of her 2 biggest inspirations besides her second really to Mariah Carey. And this track, I think the production wise, it was more different from the rest of the album. Like, it had electronic elements, but they were kind of buried deeper in the mix and not the focus. It was the voice, I think there were some organic instruments or non-synthesized instruments underneath, and then the electronic parts. And it was just really sweet. It drew me in on the first listen, and it never got old on subsequent listens. Track 12 is called Imperfect For You. It has some really, this one was also very interesting. Like, I feel like the back half of this record started to be where, instead of just having a bunch of like mid-tempo R&B numbers that flowed into each other, it's like each track has different production. Like, we have the house of Yes And, we have the sparkling Robin synths of We Can't Be Friends. We have this down-tempo, somber Imogen Heap I Wish I Hated You. And then on Imperfect for You, we have like a whole bunch of things going on. There's an almost country-ish guitar. There's this like top-heavy, dreamy chorus, but it has this like sort of creepy nightmare element underneath that feels like it could topple over into something unpleasant at any moment. I don't know. I wrote down here, this song feels like a combination of Kelly Clarkson, Jewel, Imogen Heap, and Beyonce, kind of all folded together with Ariana's light, airy vocal on top of it. So there's just so many influences going on. There's so many big lyrics. One example is like, how could we know we'd rearrange all the cosmic? And she has a similar line in the second verse that I did not write down and don't remember off the top of my head. But there's just like a lot going on in this song, and yet it all works. Like, she has all these disparate elements in the production, but it all kind of like curls together. Like, you know, if we talk, I talked about it being like top heavy, like a top that's spinning around and could fall over at any moment. So it's like, imagine there are stripes down the sides of the top that are different colors. And so it's like, if you watch it, you can see flashes of each different color, but they work together to create one cohesive, if slightly unnerving, song. And so with that, we have arrived at the last track on this record. It's called Ordinary Things. It features a recording of her grandmother at the end talking about her, you know, love and attraction to her husband, who is no longer alive. But just like how that feels, how like she sustained a relationship over decades and like the work and the communication that it took. But also in this one, I feel like this was the most like her previous work, with the horns, the sort of like trap drums on the verses. And yeah, it just, I don't know, it did feel like an ending or a conclusion. Like, I just had this vision of like Ariana and her new significant other just like floating in the clouds while the sun is setting with all these pretty like pinks and blues and reds that's just very like soft, very much like, I don't even know what the right word is. It's just very like, it's like an arrival, like getting through all these emotions, but being like, I have this person here with me. Things are good and we treat each other well and try to have as healthy a relationship as we can. And like, the world is our oyster and the sky is the limit. And we're just drifting off into bliss in the sunset. My favorite lyric that I wrote down, I think from the second verse, it is, I don't need no diamonds, just your time. That's a very, to me, post-Return of Saturn kind of sentiment, where it's like, material things or whatever, like, what's important to me is quality time with you. And that, to me, is a better building block need or want for a relationship than, like, what can this person buy me? Can they support me financially? Like, okay. But what about when you're having a bad day? What about when you're feeling lonely? What about when you need affection? Like, yes, they could buy you whatever you want, but how important is that really? So with that, we have come to the end of Eternal Sunshine. I really like it. I think it's a very cohesive record. It has a lot of different genres sprinkled throughout, but a kind of sonic cohesion that pulls it all together. I think it's the most mature record that Ariana Grande has ever released because of the things that she's gone through in her life experiences. And I think I'll keep playing it throughout the rest of the year. I am interested to see what else they choose to push as singles throughout the spring and summer, and maybe even into the fall if they do well enough. So please let me know, what did you think of the album? What are some of your favorite tracks? comment below or on Spotify. Let me know, discuss with each other, have fun. And yeah, I'll see you next week for Casey Musgrave's A Deeper Well. So thank you so much for taking this journey through Eternal Sunshine with me. I hope you found some deep album cuts on this sparkling brand new record to enjoy. And I will see you next time.